The final reading. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. So last week, a friend, she often sends me devotions or little quips. And her devotion for that particular day, it was speaking of God's timing and how most of the time, if not all the time, it's quite different than what our preferred timing would be. The devotional, it referenced the many times in the Bible that people had to wait and the difficulty that they too had. And it was interesting to note, and I think a lot of times we completely forget, that God doesn't view time and events and history with our same limited viewpoint that we have of time. From 2 Peter 3, verses 8, it says, "But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day." I can't even understand that at all. It's no wonder that we struggle then when God says, wait, especially when the waiting includes pain or discomfort. And we live in this culture that doesn't like to wait. We see this waiting as an inconvenience. There's this expectation of immediate results. Order Amazon Prime, and you get your packages with two-day delivery. And sometimes now we even get it next day. How many of you smile when you're ordering it and you're going, will I get it tomorrow? Yeah, I'm hooked. Communicate, right, with immediate feedback. Now we get text. I get immediate feedback. There's no snail mail need. Yes, I still like to get letters in the mail, though. Dinner prep. We use microwaves, Instapots, air fryers, which I am getting ready to get one just because, or better yet, just order takeout and take care of all of it. How quick can we accomplish this current task so we can get to the next one? And how can we remove inconveniences from our life? But then there's these times when God slams on the brakes and we come to this immediate halt, or we kind of get stalled in this traffic jam of life. And it's usually when we most want to avoid whatever it is that's in front of us, or at least kind of zoom through it really quickly. But then God calls us to this time of wait. And those times when he has us wait and endure this discomfort that we're in for just a little bit longer, a lot longer than we'd like to be, and mainly, actually, it's usually that we don't want to be in that pain or suffering in the first place. So why would we even want to stay in it any longer? So waiting for and understanding God's timing can be really painful. God's chosen people, the Israelites, they didn't like to wait either. In Exodus 32, the anxious Israelites, they awaited Moses' return from Mount Sinai, where he had been up there meeting with God for several weeks, a long time. So in their eyes, Moses and God seemed kind of missing and absent, and it was time to find a deity that they could actually see and touch. And idols, they said, always seemed to work for the Egyptians, so why not now? So they coerced Aaron, who was second in command, to make that golden calf for them to worship. They were done waiting. They had had enough, took it into their own hands, which was a wrong choice, because as a result, God nearly destroyed them. Aaron told a lie, Moses broke the tablets containing the Ten Commandments, and God sent a plague on all the people. So there were consequences when we don't wait for God's timing. Granted, these were really bad ones. But in our haste to move out of our seasons in the desert, we're tempted to take matters into our own hands. And we begin to doubt God's authority and goodness. And then when we exchange God's merciful, perfect timing for our immediate results that we want and our immediate desires, then we end up settling for second best. We miss out on these treasures and aha moments that God has waiting for us to experience. We just don't know that they're going to be there when you're in the midst of it. And at times, we do have disastrous results. So why does God push the pause button on our prayer request? Why does he ask us to wait when he knows how hard it is to do? So let's look at what happened when one heartbroken woman had to wait for God's timing. So in 1 Samuel, it introduces us to Hannah, right? So year after year, she asked God for a child. Year after year after year, but no child came. So she would get her hopes up, only to let them crash and shatter, month after month, year after year. So Hannah grieved for her unfulfilled longing of motherhood. And after years of disappointment, one year on her trip to the tabernacle for sacrifice and prayer, Hannah, in deep anguish, she poured out her heart to God. She held all the broken pieces up of her heart to God in surrender and offered in response to his answering her prayer, giving her son back to him for the son's entire life. Whatever God needed, he could have it back. So let's look at what happened as a result of God's timing and Hannah having to wait. Hannah grew closer to the Lord. We know she prayed fervently, right? Completely intense prayer, regular, ongoing. She kept growing closer and closer to God. She came to the point where she would give back to God the son that she so desperately asked for. God's timing brought Hannah to a point at which she could open her arms and give God the exact perfect servant that he required. And along the way, she also encountered Eli, who would recognize the incredible gift that God had given to Samuel. So looking back on their story, you can see God's hand. He skillfully orchestrated both Hannah and Samuel's lives, but it was in his time. So scripture is filled with accounts of people who experienced the difficulty of operating under God's timetable. So Abram, he waited nearly a century for God to give him the promised descendant. How many of you, like, it makes our wait a lot shorter seeming, doesn't it? A century. Joseph sat in prison, right? He was chilling, biding his time in prison until the dreams that God had given him came to pass. It took a while. David, he was actually a teenage boy when Samuel anointed him as Israel's king, but he actually didn't take the throne till sometime in his 30s. Another long wait. Can you imagine knowing you're going to be king and wanting all that it encompasses, but then having to wait? But the thing was, is God needed each one of these people to wait for his plans and his timing to be just right. So for us today, just as in the biblical times, there's always a reason for the wait. We don't want to hear that, but there's always a reason for the wait. Something emerges differently because of the time in waiting that would not have happened if we received what we asked for, or even more, if what we thought we wanted or needed in the amount of time that we thought that it was appropriate. Of course, these truths are really easier to see with 20/20 hindsight. After the fact, when we finally understand that there was a reason for God's timing, when we can look back through the various circumstances that I'm sure that we've all faced of a situation, and you can kind of see God's hand in them all along and realize that there was a reason that it happened in the order and the timing that they did. Go figure that God, you know, actually knows what he's doing. But what if we could begin to accept God's timing in the midst of the struggles instead of after the fact, when he calls us into that time of waiting? And what if we allowed ourselves permission to let God be in charge? And when we truly became followers? And what if we gave up on our need to be in control and actually surrendered to his leading? More importantly, what if we did all these things knowing that in our hearts, that in the end, no matter what, God will work it out for us. No matter what, he's going to work it out. Now, it might not look like what we envision the outcome to be, which sometimes is an issue for us. So we have to be pretty open to what the possibilities are and all the different ways God might use to transform us through our experience of waiting. But transform, he will. And I wonder if through the act of surrender and knowing and trusting God, if we might find unexpected peace, faithfulness, confidence, hope, and even joy during our most difficult times. I know I prefer those particular feelings to the ones of being anxious and worried and confused and helpless and frustrated and angry, which happens a lot in our times of wait and when we're in that point of distress and unknowing. So this spring marks the 7th anniversary already, seems like just yesterday, of what I call my deep dive with God and my intentional journey towards healing and wholeness. And I can honestly say it's been kind of like this roller coaster ride. And it's been filled with pain and transformation, but also filled with awe and wonder. And as I reflect on those times of having to live and wait for a healing to happen, two examples kind of came to the surface. And what I liked is one of them is an example of where God's timing and not my own timing actually protected me, and another where his timing provided me this unexpected gift. It was kind of a treasure that I would have never imagined possible. But I had to wait for it to kind of all fall into place and all the things get in motion. So early in my healing, I knew that there was work to be done around some trauma. And I couldn't understand why God insisted we keep returning to this one event. It's like, are you serious again? But we did. Over and over and over, he would take me to this same event. And each time, he would focus on one or maybe two emotions or false beliefs that are tied to that event. I, of course, wanted him to do one-stop shopping, one-stop healing. Let's just go for it, dive in, unearth, deal with all the emotions and lies and the coping mechanisms that I engaged in that were unhealthy. Let's just do it all one time. Can we please? What are we waiting for? You know, why are you taking so long to show me all the healing that needs to happen around this? Well, it wasn't until 2 years into that first request and into the journey that I finally understood his timing. What he revealed to me after that 2 years of working like bits and pieces of this particular thing, what he revealed to me and the impact that it had on me, had he done what I asked for and told or showed me what happened and the impact that it had on me, I would not have had that strong faith when I 7 years ago when I first started all this. I would not have had experienced healing people that he put in my life to help me walk through that, or a community to surround me with support. I didn't have any of those things 7 years ago. And this is what I wanted you to do, what I wanted. Instead, what would have happened, and my devastation of what he told me and showed me, I would have run away. I wouldn't have stayed on the journey at all. I would have been too scared and too devastated and not have anything underneath me to support it. And he knew that. It was that moment was pivotal for me to see how important and understand that there's a reason when he has us in a period of wait and he doesn't do things in our timing, because my life wouldn't have continued where it was because I wouldn't have been here. I would have been long gone. Now, on the flip side, as I processed ungrieved losses during these last 7 years, also, again, wishing and praying that he would let me be done and caught up on all the backlog of grief that I had from various losses. He once again, he had a purpose for his extended timing that was far too grand for me to understand in the midst of the process. So, and some of you may have read this. I did a blog for a ministry, and this is the story from that. But my little brother, Bill, he was killed when he was 26 years old in this really freak accident, when he was mud riding and someone got stuck, and my brother used his white Dodge Ram 1500 truck and to pull the person out with his winch. But the person's trailer hitch broke off of their truck and it flew through my brother's truck, hitting him in the head. So Bill was my favorite brother. He was the mistake 7 years below me. Best mistake ever. But we were actually best of friends, and we shared this really special bond because I became his sibling caretaker. If any of y'all have had the younger siblings and you just have a different connection with them. And he was like the most special person in my life of all my family members. Then in an instant, he was gone and he was taken from me. Because he was killed in a white Dodge Ram 1500 truck, for the 20 years after his death, every time I would see one of those trucks on the road, all I could think about was death and losing my little buddy. Do you know how many white Dodge Ram pickup trucks there are? Right? Their work trucks, every work truck you can possibly see is a white Dodge Ram 1500 pickup truck. They were everywhere. So for me, I lived a life with a constant reminder of death and loss. But through the journey these last 7 years, having someone that's walked beside me through trauma and grieving work, what I've come to understand actually is how important my relationship with my little brother was. He wasn't just a brother. He was like the one person in my family of origin that was loved to me and that I was loved to. And because of this, a new awareness of the impact that Bill had on my life, I was able to connect loving him and his loving to me to what it was like to love others and to be loved by others, because I had no other way to anchor that in anything with anybody else. So through actually the tragedy of losing him, I actually gained a deeper knowing of love. Then a number of years ago, I was attending a healing care ministry seminar in Ashland, and I walked around the corner from the seminary building where we were meeting, and I came face to face with the seminary leader, Terry Wardle, who I love the man. He had a white Dodge Ram 1500 pickup truck right there, smack dab in his parking spot. And it literally took my breath away, but it really just triggered the heck out of me. Because at that point, I wasn't quite at the level of healing where I am now. But what happened at that seminar then is a shift occurred in me that exchanged the meaning of the truck from tragedy and deep loss to instead a symbol of love and community. Like, how can that happen? But it happened because seeing that the truck belonged to Terry, and because the healing care ministry and the healing that I'm experiencing from loss and trauma and all is a function of Terry's work and the love and importance of healing with people and in community and not doing it alone and being known and loved in community, all of a sudden, all that knowing and experience, it wouldn't have been possible without Terry. So now, knowing that that truck belonged to him, and the importance that he's placed on healing and it being long-term, it made the transformation. So now guess what I think about every time I see it? A white Dodge Ram pickup truck. And they still are out there an awful lot. But I think about my little brother with love and affection for what he meant to me. And it represents community and healing because of how the healing care ministry offers an avenue of deep healing through Jesus and community. So now I see those trucks and I experience joy and connection. But it took a while for God to orchestrate that transformation of tragedy into joy. If it would have been my way again, and I just say, can we just catch up on all that ungrieved loss and backup log? Can we just do it now? I would have missed out on this big nugget of treasure that he had waiting for me. Yep. So God's timing, right, it isn't ours. And as frustrating as it is to wait for God's timing, we have the reassurance that the one who holds our future does so with loving hands. God's plans are beyond our wildest dreams. So let the pause bring us peace as we entrust the blueprints to the skillful hands of a creative and caring Heavenly Father.